could a Phoenix district advisor, did he have the authority to call in support, or would he ask his district the district senior advisor to get in support? Well, like, let's say he wanted to man an operation. The Phoenix district guy said, okay, we got intelligence on that, we know that this Kano liaison guy is over there. Did he have the authority to say, to put together, to call, let's say, a PRU team together, and just say you guys go out there and do it on his own?
I'd say generally, no, they couldn't do it that direct. They get their good information together and get it back to Providence.
Okay.
And let Providence sort out the priority based on an evaluation of the information.
Okay.
And if they had the resources at their disposition without calling us, they could go ahead and do it.
Did it work the same way with a Phoenix coordinator at the province? Did he have to coordinate everything with his with the province senior advisor?
I would say in most cases, yes, because the province chief had, each one was different.
Okay.
And they had different Now, I'll tell you, since you mentioned the PIC program, I also became a major construction tycoon in the Delta.
Oh, okay.
As a sideline to my Phoenix duties. And again, it had to do with total involvement. I figured I was there for 12 months, and my mission in life was to give them 12 months of 24-hour day service. Whatever was required, I did, as long as, again, it wasn't immoral or fattening or corrupt. And the and we had a requirement. I mean, we didn't, but the system had a requirement to get the not only the interrogation centers but jails built.
Okay. Were the PICs already built in the Delta when you got there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there weren't any.
There weren't any.
We had to create land to build the jails on. Or the PIC.
Okay.
And the agency sent down an elderly gentleman from Maryland who was a contractor. Okay. And his job in the Delta, one of many, was to get the PICs constructed. There were two things that were problems. One was a little shelter to have on site. And the other was to get some kind of material that could be used to protect the wet concrete from the high water table when they were pouring the foundations and the support.
This is just a shelter simply when they're under construction,
yeah,
and to protect the material and the people.
Yeah.
Because the conditions in the Delta are...
Well, you know, the water table, you could kick the ground and hit water.
Okay.
So, this guy and I were just chatting over the little cords club that we had there about his problems. And I said, I might be able to help you. You know, after two wars, you learn a few things. So what I was able to do is to coordinate with, well, first the Navy SEALs helped me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to get cases of stakes from the Navy. At Bentui, we were able to get stakes from the Navy to, we gave the Air Force people down there, we got stainless steel sheets from them, which I was able to get to the contractor to use to build models that you'd sink them in the ground, pump the water out, and then pour the concrete base.
Was it a Vietnamese contractor?
No.
It was Hong Kong.
Well, I think PA&E did that work down there, but this guy was an agency employee that was supervised.
I'm sure he was.
And I'm sure that a lot of local, they use a lot of local talent to do.
What's PA&E?
Pacific Architect Engineers.
Oh, okay.
They had the contract there in Vietnam, I think, throughout the whole period. See, what was needed, there were in a lot of these little derelict type districts in the Delta, They really didn't have any facilities. And those little jails, as I call them, which really were the interrogation centers, mm-hmm. were constructed so that for the first time they had a place to secure prisoners mm-hmm. and also interrogate them.
And that was for the special branch? For strictly for Phoenix?
It was
for
anyone.
Okay.
And I remember going into one that we built up in Chowduck and had several monks in there. And they had a big chain, a steel chain, chained to their leg so they couldn't run off.
So during your year, did you, by the end of the year, have a pick in every province?
We had pretty much constructed them throughout. And the one thing that we did in the Delta, and I'll never forget Colby's admonition to us and one of his visits down in the Delta, we'd have a monthly meeting. And up in two corps, okay. The Roik up there, who was an agency guy, had built a magnificent building with a helicopter pad on the roof. And Colby said, there ain't going to be any more monuments built in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm glad to see you guys have a conservative program to just get the job done.
Did you like some of your province Phoenix people better than others? How would you rate your people from good to bad, all real good? Did you have high quality people? Were most of the military intelligence people?
Well, they were all MI officers.
Okay. And would that have been the same nationwide?
Yeah, it was supposed to be.
Okay.
And I think that they were all very, very good, highly motivated, and they were limited only by their inexperience. They'd been out on an operation that morning, and they had gone on leave to zap some VCI. And as I recall, the one of the VCI were either the local leader or he was their communication.
Okay.
The cadre.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran into them on a canal and they had a firefight and they captured this guy. Hmm. And they were trying to subdue him and he kept resisting violently. And I think it was the Dai Wee, the captain from the S2 section, pulled out his pistol and shot him.
That's the Vietnamese.
Yeah. And okay. His captain he almost went out. I mean, my captain almost went out of his mind. He said, for Christ's sake, he just killed the source of information for activity in this district. Why did you do that?
Yeah. Phoenix advisor or coordinator at the district had as his counterpart the S2?
Yes.
Okay. Not somebody from special branch, not somebody from MSS.
No, they work with all of them, but normally would be working with the S2.
Okay. And the district senior advisor's counterpart would be the district chief.
Right.
I thought it was lieutenant colonels and majors who were the province Phoenix people and captains and lieutenants who were the district.
No, the way it started at the region or the corps was lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
Yeah, the province a major, and okay. The district either a captain or a lieutenant.
Okay. But there's some flexibility with that. Okay.
And it's always been that way. Now later, at the region level, the year that I left, which was '69, the region coordinator became a colonel's position,
right.
And his deputy, a lieutenant colonel.
Okay.
And it was just the other way when I was there with lieutenant colonel and major.
What was the role that you saw the Saigon staff as?
And representing the program at the national level and ensuring that we did get the kind of personnel and logistics support that we felt we needed.
And the MOS for your people was 666666. Was that a counterintelligence?
Well, I had mixed emotions about whether it should be that or whether it should be a combat intelligence staff officer. And I felt that I'd rather they served in that capacity because many of them got the combat infantry badge because they were out under fire.
Although technically, the way I understand it, they weren't supposed to. And because they were advisors, they weren't supposed to be.
I know, but it's like, you know, how do you make an omelet without breaking
it? Yeah, no, I understand. That whole Cambodian border area
there. Kien Tung, those were toughies.
Okay.
Because there was all kind of stuff going on there all the time, and you had special forces up there working the border. And I'm sure
they had their camp, special forces camps along there.
Right.
Yeah. Was Special Forces feeding information into Phoenix channels? Running his LLDVs into Cambodia or whatever it is that the Special Forces do, and they're getting intelligence. Are they feeding it into the DIOC and the PIOC, or are they really key? Is that a unilateral operation?
It was supposed to occur, but again, with the some of the jealousies that existed, and the Special Forces people, unfortunately, kind of considered themselves a separate entity, like the SOG operation. And it was hit and miss at times. And also, a lot of the information that came from them was very questionable. That's one of the problems that Phoenix was trying to grow with, and you could see some progress being made, but again, when someone had their own axe to grind. And when it's just like this thing right now with Iran. You know, had the Republicans gotten all five guys out the week of the election, they probably would have not turned over Congress.
That's
I'm sure
right.
that
they
was
would.
The ultimate objective behind that.
Yeah, yeah.
An interesting observation that I have on the fact that you have McFarland and North and Secord and Cave or Cobb, however you pronounce his name, of which the three principals were very knowledgeable at the national level of activities.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're on active duty or you're working for the agency with an active clearance, you're prohibited going into those kinds of areas, and there's a period of time after that, up to 5 years or so, that you cannot go in to an area like that.
Because you know so much information that if you get captured, you're a liability.
That's right. So here's a case of almost the two-thirds of the principals of the National Security Council going right into hospital.
Yeah, McFarland and North should not have been there. That's
absolutely not. That hadn't
Secord,
even come up.
Yeah, Secord, because of his reputation, shouldn't have been there, because some people consider him to be borderline illegal operations.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't barbecue those guys.
Yeah.
They were trying to interdict those and capture.
Right. Okay.
They get a lead on a VCI cadre, and through friends or relatives, try and get word to them to defect. And that was very successful in the Delta. We had a considerable number of defectors.
Is this the Chu Hoi program?
Yeah.
Did you have somebody at the region who was the Chu Hoi person?
Yeah, they had someone designated, but Phoenix personnel got involved in an awful lot because that was one of our main, our primary efforts is to defect, because you can exploit the information. I mean, you can always go out and shoot someone or blow them up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the case I cited where the die we kill that guy in the struggle.
What good did it do?
Yeah.
Really? How did you work it with the Chu Hoi program? I understand they had their own facilities.
They did. They were.
That was through Agency for International Development or something. And then they would be advertising, come to Chu Hoi. And would they do their own debriefing, or would a Phoenix person?
Well, they would screen,
okay,
for pertinent information. If someone had good information, but then they would be, you know, thoroughly debriefed either by Phoenix people for immediate exportation or by the MACB interrogation.
Would this happen at region level?
It could happen at any level.
District, region, or?
Yeah, because if you're out on a mission and you capture a bunch of people right now, and you find out that one of them defects, and he says, well, you know, the cadre is having a meeting a mile over here, and they're in the in that sampan with the whatever on it. And you try and immediately exploit it.
Okay.